to Ephesians 2, 4. We're going to read 4 through 9. Just let me know when everybody gets there. Just one moment. Okay. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is what's in my parentheses. And raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Today I'd like to talk about three very important aspects of our faith today. So I want to talk about grace, God's grace, mercy, and love. So, number one, grace. What is grace? In the New Testament, grace means God's love in action towards men who merited the opposite of love. Grace means God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a finger to save themselves. Grace means God sending his only Son to descend into hell on the cross so that we guilty ones might be reconciled to God and received into heaven. Amen. I love that. I love that Jesus did what he did. He took the full wrath of God on our behalf just so that way we could be free. That's this is true love, true mercy, and true grace right there. And if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's nothing we can do to be righteous. It's all about what Jesus did. It's his blood, his sacrifice on the cross. Because our works are filthy rags, our righteousness. So, let's continue on. It amazes me to think that the creator of the entire universe loves humanity so much that to undo our mistakes, he would step in and take the punishment. He came on a mission for mankind, a mission of love. He came to suffer and die so we might be free, and also gave us a guide on how to live our lives through love, unwavering forgiveness and grace. And it breaks my heart to see the hatred that people have for our Savior in the world today. It's a lack of knowledge that they have of Jesus. That's why they are the way they are. How can they hate someone who loves him so much that he died for them, and all he wants in return is them to accept his love and forgiveness? It's mind-boggling to me. It's like being stranded at sea for days, struggling to keep your head above water. And when someone comes in a boat to save you, you just swim away. That's the state of the world today. The people of God need to take up the cross and be like Jesus. It's time to go on a mission. It's time for us to go on a mission of love for the lost and hurting, to fight the good fight and inform people of who Jesus really is, what he really wants, and also to show them that we're not a bunch of religious, over-judgmental people. We are just the same as them. The only difference is that we have God's grace, his unbreakable loving grace. Amen. We've all been in the position that the lost and hurting have been in. We've all been there. All of us are sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And God loved us even when we were in that state, so we should love other people just the same. And I want to go back to Ephesians 5. Okay, in Ephesians 5, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." In Ephesians 5, it's telling us that we should try to imitate God, that that's our mission. And if God loved us in our sin and when we were sinners and running around doing the things we shouldn't do, then we should do the same and love people the same way, no matter what they're doing. So as a Christian and being a Christian, as Christians and being a Christian means to be like Christ, to aspire to be like God, to have his attitude, to make his ways our ways. Let's look at what it means to walk in grace, because our God exercises constant grace towards us. So we should do the same towards each other and those who are lost. Having grace towards people means to overlook their faults and imperfections, and to accept and love them for who they are. God has this grace towards us all. He wants us to come to him as we are, broken, imperfect, messed up. He looks right past the flaws and loves us no matter what. No matter our shortcomings, no matter, just our general imperfections. And we should all be the same with the lost and with each other. How much do you think that it would affect a lost person if a Christian looked past their sin and brokenness and truly loved them? It's time to be like Jesus. To talk to people who cuss like sailors, who sleep around, who do drugs, who smoke. I could go on and on and on. And tell them, "I don't care about your problems. I care about you and I love you." It's going to throw them off. They're going to wonder and ask why. And that's when you tell them, "Because I want to be just like my Jesus." So many churches have fallen into self-righteousness and legalism. When they get around sinners, it's no different than the Pharisees being around lepers. They usually just turn and walk away or throw up the cross sign. They don't want to get, "I don't want to get mixed up with that. I don't want to get involved in that." That's not how we should be. And I love being in this church because this is a non-judgmental church. And there's a lot of churches, and I pray to God that they see the truth of how they should be. Jesus didn't stay away from the sinners. He ate with them, he spoke to them, he loved them. Okay. I know we're not a big church, but we can have a huge impact by walking in grace. Number 2 is mercy. In Titus 3, we're going to read 4 through 5. "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards mankind appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit." Paul tells us that God saved us not based upon our works, because that wouldn't do it. Besides, our works are really nothing more than filthy rags anyway. but God saved us according to his own mercy. This mercy was displayed by our being washed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and then our regeneration by the Holy Spirit. But there has been no better display of mercy than that was revealed on the cross. Thank God for his mercy. Without his mercy, we would all have a one-way ticket to hell. I'm so grateful that I serve a God with boundless mercy. Because I don't know about you guys, but I definitely need his mercy. So what is mercy? The King James Dictionary, Bible Dictionary, the definition of mercy is benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive. In Luke 6:35-36, it says, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil, be therefore merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So we see here that God has mercy and love even towards the unthankful and the evil. He's kind even to those who most people would say don't deserve it. How many times has someone done something to you and hurt you or offended you, and you wanted to be kind to them? Not very often. God's mercy and love is amazing. How do we as God's people... How, as I explained earlier, should try to walk and be like Christ and walk in mercy. Let's face it. Most people don't walk around worried about God stealing from them, abusing them in various ways, and or murdering them. We do, however, worry about other people and the abuses they commit against us. Sometimes we are even wary of Christians. Because of that, we are more intent on protecting and defending ourselves and giving mercy. If we wish to change the behavior of others toward us, we must first change our behavior towards them. We must give them not what they deserve or expect, but what they need, which is mercy. So this falls in with grace. We should not return anger for anger or offense for offense, but be merciful to our neighbors and our brothers and sisters. When we become offended, we need to instantly forgive and forget, to break the cycle before it begins. Mercy is not an easy thing to practice. I'm still learning how to be merciful myself. It's too easy to get caught up in the flesh and to get into the eye for an eye mentality. It takes a great deal of prayer, patience, and practice to become a person of mercy. And thank God one day we will be in our glorified bodies, so no longer to struggle with the hardships of the carnal mind. But until then, we have to rely completely on the Holy Spirit to help us to be merciful by praying in the Spirit and asking for guidance. And I saved the best for last, which is going to be a little bit longer. The last one I have for you, and I forgot to put the verse or scripture on here, I'm sorry, but I'm sure we all know this one, is love. Okay. It seems like it printed 20. Just one moment, please. Okay, I do have the scripture here. It's 1 Corinthians 13:1. I'm going to read this one out of the New King James Version. So, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is the absolute most important thing as Christians that we should all practice diligently. Love is the absolute biggest part of God's character. Without it, we are nothing. And we would not even be able to walk in God's grace or mercy without love. God's love is what gives us those wonderful gifts. God is love. And we love God because He first loved us. In our sin and self-destruction, our Creator loved you and me before He even created the universe. I could talk about God's amazing love all day. There's nothing sweeter than that. Jesus came in the flesh and died and suffered the full wrath of our Father because He loved. He went to hell and He took the keys of death from the devil's hands. All for us. The greatest love story ever told. And I think it should be called the never-ending story. And we're almost to the best part. When we get to sit at His table and to be in His presence forever. To experience His full love for eternity. And we're going to continue with the theme of being like Christ. So first we need to define love. And love is a hard thing to define. Our example of true love is shown in God's love for the sinner. Romans 5:8 says, God commanded His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The lost sinner, living in rebellion and sin, is still loved by the Lord. He loved us enough to die for us and pay our sin debt while we were sinning against Him. This shows that true biblical love is a matter of will, not emotion. God chose to love us, and His love was not based on our meriting it in any way. God chose to love us in our sin. It wasn't an emotional moment. It was an everlasting choice. You can never fall out of God's love no matter what. Also, the Bible gives us a great insight about love. Love is patient. This kind of love bears with offenses and is slow to repay or punish those who offend us. However, it does not mean indifference, which would ignore an offense. Love is kind. Kindness is similar to patience, but refers to how we treat others. This kind of love may take the form of a gentle rebuke when careful discipline is needed. Love does not envy. This kind of love appreciates and rejoices when others are blessed with good things and does not allow jealousy and resentment to take root. Love does not boast. The word boast here means bragging without foundation. This kind of love does not exalt itself over others. It recognizes that our achievements are not based on our own abilities or worthiness. Love is not proud. This love is not overly self-confident or insubordinate to God and others. It is not characterized by a sense of self-importance or arrogance. Love is not rude. This kind of love cares about others, their customs, likes, and dislikes. It respects the concern of others, even when they are different from our own. That one's important. On the love is not rude, we have to, care about others, no matter what their customs are, no matter what their situation is, no matter what's going on in their life. I think that it's very important that we look past people, the front that they put up. Even if they look mean, they look like they're going to hurt you if you come to them, whatever. You got to look past that, because they got a spirit inside that God gave to them. That's most of the time searching for something. That's why they're angry. That's why they're mad. Jesus came to show us how to live, how to walk, how to do everything that we should be doing. And if you read about Jesus in the gospel, you never see him really, I mean, other than in the temple when he was throwing stuff, you know, and running people out. You never see him really be mean to anybody. You never see him condemn anybody. He's never, not one passage does he just run up and say, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. And he says, he tells them that he's the living water. He tells them that he has abundant life for them. He tells them to go and sin no more. But he's not rude. He's not mean about it. And we should be the same way. There's a lot of churches preaching condemnation, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to burn, and you know, you got to quit sinning right now. We should try to live righteously, but it's not getting us anywhere. I think we should be righteous, we should be holy, because God's holy, and we should be like God. But we can't do it on our own. And we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We got grace and mercy. Love is not self-seeking. This kind of love puts the good of others before our own good. It places God first in our lives and above our own ambitions. I've been there. Lots of making plans without thinking, what's God want for my life? Every morning should be a prayer about God doing his will in your life, not what you want. Because once you made that decision to pick up the cross and follow Jesus, your life's not your own anymore. It belongs to him. And that's the best place to be. Some people think they're losing something, but they're not. Love is not easily angered. Like the characteristics of patience, this kind of love does not rush towards anger when others do wrong. Love keeps no record of wrongs. This kind of love offers forgiveness, even when offenses are repeated many times. The more somebody does something, the more it starts to get on your nerves. This is a really hard one. You just got to forgive, got to look past the problems that they have and just keep loving them. It's like I said, it's not an emotional, it's a choice. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And this kind of love seeks to involve involvement in evil and helping others steer clear of evil and helps others steer clear of evil. Also, it rejoices when loved ones live according to truth. Love always protects. This kind of love will always expose the sin of others in a safe way that won't bring them harm, shame, or damage, and restore and protect. I'm not saying that we shouldn't talk about sin in general. I'm not saying we shouldn't preach on sin because it's going to push people off, because that's not the case. I mean, we should preach about sin. We should talk about sin, but we should do it in a manner that's not going to hurt their feelings, not going to, you know, offend them. We should preach about sin and talk about sin in somebody's life with love and with passion. Compassion. Also look at sin as it's something, the word I was looking for is like something that we've all been through, you know. It's the same, we've been there. How are we going to judge somebody and be mad at somebody when we've done the same things and you become a hypocrite? Love always trusts. This love gives others the benefit of doubt, trusting in their good intentions. We should always look at people as who they could be instead of who they are. Love always hopes. This kind of love hopes for the best where others are concerned. Knowing God is faithful to complete the work he started in us, this hope encourages others to press forward in the faith. Love always perseveres. This kind of love endures even through the most difficult trials. This is the one where you need to love even when somebody's being really hateful to you, when they're calling you every name in the book, telling you to take your Bible and stick it somewhere unpleasant. You know, this is when you still gotta love. Love never fails. This kind of love goes beyond the boundaries of ordinary love. It is eternal, divine, and will never cease. The world has turned love into a simple word, when in fact, it's very complex. It's a very complex thing, a choice and an emotion sometimes, but also a mindset. It's the most important command in the Bible to love, yet is rarely practiced in the body of Christ today. To truly love, it's easy to say you love someone. It's harder to walk out love. The ways that Jesus intended for us to love. Love conquers all doubts, fears, hurts, and emotional scars. Love can break strongholds, even save a person who has lost all hope. Love is amazing and should be used the way that God intended, not as an emotion, but as an action. We need to walk in love every day. When we wake up, we should pray that the Holy Spirit would show us how to love like Christ, and that we have the opportunity to love someone. To love them with grace and mercy and long-suffering. To look past their flaws, their shortcomings, and their mistakes. Look past their mistakes, To make love a choice and not a word. So my challenge for you going forward is to walk in grace, mercy, and most importantly, to take the time out of your day, find somebody, and make it your mission to love. Amen. That's all I have for you guys today. I know it's a little short, but would you like to add something to this, Pastor?
Didn't he nail it? He nailed it. Grace, mercy, and love. You know, Pastor Chuck Smith said that grace and mercy are the Siamese twins. That's what he called them. You never see them in the Bible apart from each other. You really can't experience the mercies of God until you experience the grace of God, because we need that amazing grace to save us, and then we recognize that mercy, don't we? That grace is the vehicle by which we're saved, and mercy is how we're saved. And it all comes from God's love. I mean, Bobby really hit it on the head. It is kind of ironic that the Holy Spirit, not ironic, I guess it's just God, that the Holy Spirit had me say some of the same verses. And I didn't know what Bobby was going to preach on. So it's really a message from the Holy Spirit to you this morning. And I don't know how God is dealing with you in this area. I think some of the aspects of love there at the end is certainly something we need to remember, that we are to love one another. Amen. I tell you, I fall short sometimes. I really do. There's people that sometimes rub me the wrong way. Sometimes there's certain kinds of people that irritate me. And I was thinking about that when Bobby went through 1 Corinthians 13, you know. What a convicting chapter that is. And how we need God's Holy Spirit and His grace and mercy to help us to love like Jesus loved. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we implore your grace and your mercy this morning to help us, dear Lord, to love the way you love, to not condemn people based on the way they look or smell, to not condemn people because they disagree with us, not condemn people because they don't measure up to our standards, but help us, Lord, to get the mote out of our own eye and to love the way you love, Lord. Forgive us for the times that we have failed you, and continue to pour out your grace and mercy on us, making us into your image, that image of love for lost humanity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, Nola.
Let the sound of God enfold you with his spirit and his love. Let him fill your life, satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and the spirit like a dove will descend.
God bless you. Have a great Sunday. We love you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Noah.